How's it going?
Good, good.
I wanted to begin by asking you about the past and some of the records when you were a little kid or a teenager that kind of got your ears tuned to guitar and you started thinking, wait, maybe that's something I want to do.
Yeah, it goes way back. I was born in 1951, right? So it's kind of an amazing, when you think about the way rock and roll and popular music was happening, the day that my father brought home a television for the first time into our living, he had this big box and he comes in and plugs it in. And then we start watching television all the time. But one of my favorite shows. So I was like 3 or 4 years old when we got a TV and I would watch the Mickey Mouse Club, which was this Walt Disney thing with these kids. I don't even remember exact, there'd be whatever activities would go on with the Mouseketeers, these kids with their, I guess they even still sort of have something like that, right?
I think so. I think in the 90s they had it with like a new wave of people that were on it.
Yeah. Anyway, but this was, mid 50s, I'm talking about late 50s. So, but at the end of each episode, the older guy, Jimmy, would come with his guitar and it had Mickey Mouse painted on. And he all the kids would gather around and he'd play songs. And it was like around, I just thought, wow, that's like, I just fell in love with just the object itself, I think. And then it seemed like it had this magical power or something, whatever else was going on, then he'd get the guitar and then everybody would sort of calm down and gather around. And you could, even then on this kid's show, I could see that there was something about music that brought people together and it kind of cooled things out a little bit, So back then I took a cardboard box and cut it out in the shape of a guitar and put rubber bands on it and was pretending like I was playing the guitar. And then I found a picture of my grandfather who played music, like he played in the community. He was in Minnesota, in a small town in Minnesota, and he played in the community band there. And I found this photo of us, me holding, I don't even know where I got this, but holding a ukulele and he was playing a little violin. And that was, I had to be like maybe 3 years old or something. So what I'm saying, it's something that's just been, it was always there. But then a few years later, then, the stuff on the radio was just, I got a transistor radio and I just, that sound of, maybe it wasn't even so much the guitar at the beginning, but I remember like groups like the Four Seasons, or there were these sort of vocal groups, that sound of the harmony, people singing together. And I'd go to sleep with a transistor radio under my pillow and stuff like that. And then, then surf music, and again, it was like this object thing that was so cool. When Fender guitars were coming out, and I'd like to just look at the album, all those surf band, the album covers, they guys would have their, I'd be like, God, I wish I had a guitar like that, So eventually I got a guitar, and I just, it's kind of just, that's all I've ever done. Couldn't figure out anything else to do.
When you first got a guitar, would you say that the first decade or so with a guitar, you're just transfixed and obsessed and can't take it out of your hand? Or was it a fun hobby for a while and then you decided to hunker down? Or was it kind of love at first sight?
Yeah, I think I was pretty much like, I should also, I also played in the school music program. I played clarinet in the band, and I played in these marching bands and concert bands and stuff. And that was, I'm so thankful that I had that sort of found just basic music foundation that you could get in public schools at that time. But that was, it was like this whole other, at the time that was, you know, my parents would, you got to practice, make sure you practice it. You know, it was like a thing that I had to do. Whereas with the guitar, it was just, it's more like you said, I couldn't put it down. And then really quickly it became, that's also what's so difficult about right now is as soon as I got, especially when I got an electric guitar, I had a couple sort of cheap acoustic guitars that I'd mess around with. But then when I got an electric guitar, my friend got one almost at the same time, and another friend across the street got drums. And it just, as soon as you even owned the instrument, you were automatically, it was a band, you know, so it immediately became this way of interacting with people. I'm sure, you know, I played alone for sure, but the most, you know, the clearest memories of it were just playing with other people, you know. It was, that's what it's been really all along. So.
And when was it when you kind of felt that you had to really put in the work in terms of the kind of dirty work of the guitar and learning all the positions and learning the different modes and the kind of things that maybe aren't as glamorous, but you obviously need to know, and that feels more like weightlifting as opposed to exploring for fun?
Yeah, well, it was still fun even, but there was definitely this, like toward the end of high school, just huge moment. So I'm playing clarinet in the school band, but by that time I'm playing in band, you know, rock bands or R&B or whatever you want to. I was really into blues and playing in a band, you know, with my friends, and we would play for school dances and all that stuff. But my junior year in high school, the fall. So it's like fall of 1967. My band, there's a all school talent show, and there are these girls are doing this dance routine, and they're using a Wes Montgomery song to do the dance to. Bumpin' on Sunset was the song. And so the band director, he brings me this record, and he said, do you think you could, it'd be so much cooler if we had real live music with these girls dancing instead of them just putting on the record, you know, so do you think you could learn this song? So he gave me that Wes Montgomery thing, and it was like the perfect, I didn't know who Wes Montgomery was at that time. And that was so I go home and I put this record on. It's like, oh my God, what? Because it was like the link or this gateway from, I guess, the more popular music that I knew to jazz music, whatever the word for it, you know. And luckily that one song was, you know, it was basically like one chord for the whole, you know, I could kind of mimic it, figure out something to play. And, you know, we played it, we did it for the all school show, and it was a big success and everything. And, but in my mind, that was, so then I went out and who is this guy, Wes Montgomery? And at the time, like at Walgreens and Woolworths, they had these record bins with just, I wish I could go back in time, like all Blue Note records and Riverside, all these jazz records that were discontinued at the like basically out of print, but they were like, so I go in there and there's Wes Montgomery, and it's like his first trio record. I buy that, and then I see a Sam Rivers record and a Lee Morgan record and Sonny Rollins, and they're all like 79 cents or something. I'm just So that was like just major floodgates opening to all that music. And so that was a point like, oh man, what is, I knew I loved it, but it was, I'd suddenly stepped into this, I need to figure out what are these guys doing? So then I found a teacher. I'd had a couple little lessons with different people. Like there was a Denver Folklore Center I went and I learned some things, but this was the point where it was like you said, heavy lifting. It's like, okay, there's a lot going on here. So I was really lucky to find in Denver this teacher, guitar player named Dale Bruning, who I'm still in touch with to this day. And he's still playing. And he was like, I wouldn't be here if I hadn't met him, you know. So Dale Bruning, who's still active playing and teaching in the Denver area. And it was like a miracle for me that he had not that recently moved to Denver from, he had grown up more in Philadelphia area. And he was like one of the real guys, you know. He knew Milt Jackson and he knew Wes Montgomery.
Wow.
He's how I met Jim Hall. And but it was like he was a, you know, coming from the East Coast to Denver, which is not known to be the jazz capital of the world or anything. But it was like he was, to have someone like that around, it was just, I just learned so much from him, you know. So that was really the turning point where already I think I was dreaming about what I really liked. Like I said, I couldn't figure out anything else to do I think deep down I knew I wanted to try to play, but that's when it really started, just more and more became stronger and stronger that it's what I wanted to do for the rest of my life.
Did you ever have moments of doubt? Were there ever detours where you...
Oh man, yeah, all kinds. that's where I feel like I've been so lucky, you know, because it's so fragile. I feel there's so much luck involved. Like there were so many moments when I thought, man, I can't do this. You know, what am I? I had no idea. I just knew I wanted to, but I didn't think I was any good. It was more about just wanting to, but I wasn't thinking of myself as really having any talent or anything. It wasn't, I still feel that way actually. You know, it's more about just that I love it, so I do it. But there were so many moments when I got support right at the, I mean, actually, you know, starting all the way with my parents, I was so lucky. Whenever I wanted to do anything with music, they were like, yeah, that's great. You know, they were some of my friends, you know, like a lot in the bands that I played in high school and stuff, like some of the guys there, they had to kind of sneak out of the house. Their parents didn't want them to, oh, you shouldn't be mixing with these, you know, degenerate musician people. You know, they didn't want them doing this stuff. Like we'd have gigs on the weekend or something, and you know, one of my best friends, he had to like kind of sneak out to be able to do the gig. And my parents were always super supportive. And then just so many moments when after I got out of high school, I went to college for a couple of years in Colorado, and I was still playing clarinet, but I really wanted to play the guitar. And I just remember one, it's just a tiny little moment, but I can picture exactly walking down this hallway in the music building. And I'm just, in my mind, I'm thinking, man, I think I've had it. I can't, this is not, I shouldn't be doing this or something. And just as that, I was really down and just thinking I should just stop because I'm not good enough or whatever. And this teacher, Buddy Baker is his name.
It's a good name.
He great trombone player who played in Woody Herman's band and Stan Kenton's band. And he was teaching there. He just sort of, I don't know if he sensed something or he just happened to be coming around the corner and he just grabbed me and said, "Man, Bill, man, you sound so good. You know, like, I think you've really got something going on." Like, he just like, how did you happen to think to say that right at that moment? And, you know, okay, that got me over that little hump there. Wow. I guess maybe, okay, I'll keep going for a while longer. But so, I mean, just saying, I was really lucky. Like, if someone at that moment, if he had come and said, "You know, I don't think you really don't have," which some teachers do that, you know, and that really try to be sensitive to that. it is super fragile, you know, you're trying to figure this stuff out. And music is so overwhelming, you know, it's anybody that thinks that they can get it together is fooling themselves. So, you know, you have to be just okay with, if you want to do it, you just have to love it and just be in it and keep trying.
So just turning to the present, I wanted to ask about the albums you find yourself listening to these days. What's in the past couple weeks, months through the lockdown, are the albums you find yourself listening to a lot?
Yeah, that's, boy, it's that I've been checking out how my perception changes even from day to day, or the way I react to, like, I don't really listen that much, like, but the things I've been listening to, well, like, in the last couple of weeks, I've been listening to a lot of Billie Holiday stuff. There's things that I hadn't heard before, and what's amazing, one thing about my, you know, 70th birthday, it's like, wow. And then the way my memory works and everything, you know, I can go back and listen to things that even that Wes Montgomery record that I heard in high school, I can go listen to that now, and it's like, whoa. Every time I hear it, I'll hear something that I didn't notice, you know, 50 ever many years ago, 55 years ago or whatever. But same thing, like, I've been listening to a bunch of Billie Holiday stuff, and it's like I'm hearing it. It's almost like I've never heard it before. It's like in all kinds of ways, like hearing the way it almost sounds like she's talking to me or something, you know, with the way I'm hearing the story in the song, or noticing where she's, and the arrangements and the people playing with it, just all these things, details that come forward that I didn't notice before. But then I'll also notice, like, I'll listen to things depending on when you hear it or what. One day it'll sound really good, and one day it'll sound, you know, I was listening to some Beethoven thing or a Bach. I guess it was some Beethoven. Like, one day I'll hear it and it sounds like this beautiful, like, I just, I don't know, it's the perfect thing for that moment. And then the next day I'll say, oh, I want to listen to that again. And I listen to it and it just sounds like, it's just grating, and it just sounds like banging around or something. So I'm really checking out how the same piece of music can, just over the course of a day, it can change. What you're hearing at a particular moment doesn't necessarily mean that's what's happening, you know. It's same thing when you're playing, like, you know, like on a gig, what's in my own mind as I'm playing, doesn't have that much to do with what that music is actually doing. You know, sometimes you're playing and you think, man, this is so great. I'm playing my ass off, you know, and then you hear a recording and it's all, you weren't playing that great. Or sometimes you're just tormented with thinking how horrible you're playing, and it's actually, I don't know, there's a huge gap there between what goes on internally and what's actually coming out. That's also what's hard about this time, you know, because we're not getting to play with people so much. So I'm like sitting in this room. I've been in this room for the last year, just with these, you know, practicing or whatever, which is great, but it's music for me, like I said, is about being with other people. So
when you listen to music like Billie Holiday, do you, throughout your life, have you always had kind of active listening time where you'll sit in a room, put on your headphones and close your eyes? Or is it more the radio's on, oh, Billie Holiday's on, oh, that's, I remember that song? Or do you always kind of make time to deep dive?
Yeah, it used to be way more like just super focused, you know, like I put on a record and just completely in it, you know. Or, you know, some of my most incredible memories of listening to music was, you know, like when I was in college and my friends, we'd all like living in a house and we'd all just get, like, it was like the record player and we put, okay, here's this Miles Davis record, and we'd all just be, that was incredible, where you're listening with sort of a group of people, you know, and there's some sort of energy in that that's, you feed off each other. Wow, did you hear that? Where, you know, Herbie Hancock just played that chord right at that moment or something. And that's what I think my most intense favorite moments of listening were like that, I guess. Or so, I don't know, when I was in high, I remember in high school, my parents had, you know, stereo in the house, and I just lie on the floor and put the speakers right by my head, you know. But it's these days, it's way more hard. It's so hard to, there's so much distraction all the time, you know. It's harder to, I guess, in shorter increments. Or I'll listen like before I go to sleep a lot. And then I fall asleep, you know. It's like I mean, that's kind of nice too.
So I guess lastly, I want to ask you a question themed on future music, which is, if you had to play a few tracks for aliens coming down and you want to show off where us humans are capable of, what are a couple tracks you would maybe think of playing them?
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's like, I mean, that's the other thing. Like, the way music is connected to, like, everything sort of leads to something else. So it's hard to, like, that Wes Montgomery record again. Maybe even that would be one. I don't know. The Bumpin' on Sunset, you know, there's Ron Carter's playing bass on that record, right? That was the first time I ever heard Ron Carter. And all he does is, you know, doom, 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 doom. He plays like one note for the whole song, but then it's Ron Carter and it feels a certain way. And then, so then when I said I went to the Walgreens and I bought a Herbie Hancock record and there's Ron Carter's on that one. And then I bought a Kenny Burrell record and Ron Carter's on that one. And then a Miles Davis record is on that. Or an Eric Dolphy record, and he's on that one. And then, oh, wait a minute, on this, you know, on this Miles record, there's Herbie Hancock. And then on that Freddie Hubbard record, wait, Herbie Hancock's on this Freddie Hubbard record. And Freddie Hubbard's on the Sonny Rollins record and Wilbur Ware's on that one and blah, blah, you know, and Elvin Jones is on that one. And then he's, and it's just like this unbelievable tapestry of all these relationships. So if you, it's hard to just, you know.
You're jumping off point from West Montgomery and then see where.
Yeah. And it just goes like within seconds, you're, it's like this kaleidoscope of everything, you know. And I mean, I don't know, there's, or I'm just trying to think of the stuff that I always want to say, Monk or Bach, or like Bach stuff just always, I guess it depends on who's playing it a lot, but that music in a way has so much of everything that we need right in there. Or I guess it's that thing about how the music, like with Thelonious Monk, I can, those pieces that he wrote and the way he plays, that's something I can just keep coming back to. I literally think about him every day, you know. I mean, it's, and it's every time I look at one of his pieces, it's something else. It just never ends what's in those, in that music. So I put him in there.
Do you find that you still feel that you need to put in the work to the guitar to get better and better, or is it now more spontaneous?
No, it's like, I feel like I'm just
starting off.
Yeah, that's, it really does feel like that every day. It's like, oh my, it's like, it still feels like I'm just at the very beginning, you know? I used to think long, long ago, I would think, oh, wow, I'd hear these guys play and like, wow, if I really practice, I thought there was some sort of point where you just, well, everything just clicks in and then you can just play, but it just doesn't work that way. I think it's just, part of the deal is that we're never gonna get there. Like, there's always, what you haven't done yet is infinite, you know? So somehow we have to be comfortable with just being in the process of just being in it and working at it. I mean, like Sonny Rollins, like somebody like that, who's to me like one of the, even in all of history of mankind, you know, one of the greatest musicians that ever walked the face of the earth. And if you listen to him talking, it's, oh God, I don't know. You know, it's like, man, if he's saying that, what, you know, so that's just quite a lesson there. And he's just being honest about the magnitude of what, I mean, it's amazing music, how it's just doesn't, there's no end to it.
How do you like to work through things now? Will you pick a song and feel like playing along to it? Or do you do technical exercises for 30 minutes and then?
Yeah, it's not really structured. Like, I just sort of follow my, a lot of it is writing. That it's a little different than practicing, I guess. What I'm just filling these, like there's like, I've got this like hundreds of pages of this stuff. Basically, every day I wake up and I just start writing this stuff down. So it's sort of, I don't know. And they're not even fully formed. I'm not sure what it is. That's the other thing. I'll know more when I hear someone else play it. But
so you just compose that way?
Yeah, and I mean, usually with my guitar or whatever. But it's like sort of this obsessive, compulsive, just writing down ideas or little melodies and stuff. So it's different than years and years ago. You know, I'd have them. I still need to definitely need to do that, you know, with metronome and trying to play faster and fat or whatever, but I don't really spend that much time doing that. Or trying to learn a new, if I'm attracted to some song, I'll try to learn it. And it's really important for me to like absorb it. It takes a while, you know, for me to, I can't just memorize something right away. It takes a long time for it to seep down, deep down, so I really know it.
Have you had a chance in lockdown to start to think about planning recording sessions, or it's been basically closed?
Part of this, I mean, it's not, I don't know exactly what, I don't have anything specific really, but a lot of the stuff I've written, I've been sort of hoping maybe later in the year to try to put some kind of thing together with a larger, and I'm not even sure what exactly the instrumentation would be, but just to orchestrate some of these things for a larger group, that's sort of the next thing on my mind. I mean, the last few things I've done, recordings have been more smaller group, either trio or there's that group called Harmony or Duo with Thomas, you know, I'd sort of thinking about doing some larger thing for more people, but we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Oh, thanks so much, Bill. It was fantastic to talk to you. I really appreciate you taking the time.
No, thanks, it's good to talk.